I've always loved kicking back with a great cigar, especially as the weather cools down. It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch the game, or just enjoy a fall evening outside. And when it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is my go-to. They've got everything. Whether I'm looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoints. Cigars International is the go-to retailer for all things cigars, with the biggest selection of premium handmade cigars available anywhere. Cigars International also offers unbeatable deals and discounts, making it easy to stock up on your favorites or try something new without breaking the bank. With fast shipping, their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence, knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. They got great relationships with their vendors that help provide great low prices. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International's make it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. It's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more. Visit CigarsInternational.com today and explore their incredible selection of premium cigars and unbeatable deals. For our listeners only, they are giving you 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping when you use the code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. That is CigarsInternational.com and use the code DRINKINGBROS at checkout for 20% off $50 or more and free shipping. Whether you're looking for the perfect fall cigar or just want to explore something new, Cigars International has you covered.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to the College Football Week 12 edition. What happened here, Delco? I got nothing on the screen over here, brother. Brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000.
TV off.
Are we live?
Yeah, we're live.
Okay, you switched the screens on me over here.
Yeah, what's where's the live
camera? Where's the live camera now? I don't have that anymore. And I can't see it.
I don't need to see Bob going through the internet though.
No, that's all we're seeing on our side is Bob. There we go. Bob checking out the internet, which is fun.
Program.
But just gonna make sure that whatever he's looking at is not illegal because we are on YouTube today.
Nope, urethral sounding, totally legal.
Just is there a way? Thank God. I was like, man, if this switch is over and we lose another fucking account, this will be whatever.
Is there another kind of sounding?
Yeah. It's the most intense kind of sounding, but like, yeah. I mean, you can sound anything, really.
Sure can.
I don't think you can.
Sure can. You can sound your bets on mybookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Get off the couch and get into the action today with MyBookie.com. All the odds on the Week 12 show, brought to you by MyBookie. All the odds here that we'll be reading today are on MyBookie.com. Let's get into it, man. I'm pretty pissed off. I don't really go Homer too much here, but this fucking Big Noon bullshit for Fox sucks. It sucks. And if I'm Ohio State at this point, I ask for a goddamn paycheck for this. Because every game is at noon. That has eliminated all night games at Ohio State, which is a huge advantage. It's a huge advantage for any school, to be honest with you, including Penn State, man. Penn State has every right to be pissed off for them putting that fucking game at noon. You're looking at 7 games in a row now at noon for Ohio State. They have not played one night home game, and they paid shit ton of money to put all that fucking technology into it to make it cool at night and everything else. But they really want to pump up that Big Noon show that, God damn it, as much as I love Urban Meyer in real life, he's great. I just don't like the show. I'm a game day guy. I'm not going back from game day.
Also, you know who doesn't need to do that? It's fucking game day.
Yeah. Yeah. Game day does. Well, they don't, right? They only show up at the biggest game.
They show up. Yeah, and the night game, it's always usually the night game or at least the 3:30 game.
Yeah, or whatever that the biggest game is, right? So for, let's take the Big Noon on Fox. They're going to be there for the Northwestern game. Sweet. The week afterwards, another top five matchup, and we've had these all year long. They've been fucking awesome. Ohio State, Indiana, they just announced that's going to be at noon as well. Fuck off with that. Like, God damn it, man. It's awful. Now, I've said this on the show before. I'll say it again. The ratings of that Big Noon show start because of Ohio State. Ohio State's the highest rated team as far as television goes and all that other shit. But like, my God, dude, a noon game, the fans can't get up for it. Even me, dude, the kids can't really get up for it. And yeah, it doesn't really create an advantage, in my opinion, of playing a home game at noon.
Well, I guess Ohio State fans are just going to have to adjust. And my recommendation would be the day prior, sleep all day until like 8, 9 p.m., then go out to the bars, work your way through the bars, and start doing cocaine probably around 8, 9 a.m.
Cocaine is expensive for a college kid, and that's the problem.
Well, that's the college is going to have to figure that out.
Yeah.
They're going to have to use some of their NIL money.
I mean, but for the students, I guess, here. But also, there's no real point in showing these games on primetime. So I'll switch out of the homer for a second. Take this Ohio State-Purdue game. Purdue is 1-8. Why was that even televised at noon? To me, that is probably a Big Ten network game at best. Shit, a Peacock game? If you put that on Peacock, I would understand. So why are we putting that on at noon and then you're doing the coverage outside of there? If you're the other anchors that aren't Urban Meyer on that show, and there's four of them, you and I have met them all in real life and half of them have been on the goddamn show. Are you amped that you're going to Ohio State every week for seven straight fucking weeks? Like, no, dude, like I wouldn't be. So I don't really get it beyond the ratings issue for it. And I know Fox paid money for the Big Ten, but fuck this, man. I don't want to see any noon games. Can Trump do anything?
I mean, I guess he could send the military.
Could he sign an EO that says no more noon games? Because they're bullshit.
For anybody?
Anyone.
When would you want the game to be?
3:30? No. 3:30 or that's the night game there. If you're a student, let's go, dude. If you're a fucking loser, like when I lived in Los Angeles, these games were on at 9 a.m. God damn it, I hated getting up for it. It was the worst. And a lot of people were like, coffee game. No, dude, we party. Like, I want to party. That's part of the college experience.
It's fine now as an adult with children. But yeah, any time before I had a child, an 11 a.m. game was infuriating.
Not for me, no. Because when you wait till your kids get older, Bob, and they're playing sports and stuff, all the sports are on a Saturday, so that overlaps. And then you look
up, makes sense.
Like, because I coach all this shit, and I look up and I see parents literally watching their own games in the stands. The amount of parents that are watching Texas Longhorn 11 a.m. games in the stands is hilarious to me. But it's like, man, kids are playing all morning. Everybody else wants to party. Just shift this shit to the afternoon. Fuck, dude. This is brutal. So, yeah, they'll play. Ohio State will play an entire season with one night game that was on the road. And it was Michigan State, for Christ's sakes. Because the Oregon game was at 4:30. That's not a true night game either. Although that place is the loudest goddamn place on earth. But we got to figure this out, man. We can't be seeing the best games, the top five games at least, at these fucking noon positions here. Doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense to me. Even next week, they're playing Northwestern, but it's on Wrigley Field, which is historic, and everybody wants to see what that looks like and blah, blah, blah. Nope. Noon game. Weekend after that, noon game.
Yeah.
Because that's 2 versus 5. Is there a team that could potentially fall out of that and make it quicker? Ohio State's going to beat Northwestern.
Well, how
does
it work in the Big Ten? Who owns TV rights for the universities in Big Ten?
Split into three. Fox.
No, I mean, does the Big Ten own the TV rights or do the individual universities own them?
Big Ten.
See, that's a problem.
I agree. So something's got to be done there. And if you're Ohio State,
I'd start to flex a little bit and be like, dude, we're not doing this fucking bullshit anymore. Because it's also costing you fans at your games, dude. Like, there's a lot of games. If it's a shitty team, you might not just go to the noon game.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
No, as a student?
No.
There was some that I skipped. Like, oh, cool, we're playing Akron week two? Yeah, man, I'm going to fucking sleeper on in for that noon game, bro. I'm not going to go down there. So it sucks and it's weird, but everybody had tagged me in this goddamn post last night. I was shocked by that, by that Indiana game. This is the first time Indiana's been great in ever.
It's their first 10-win season ever.
Ever. So why not give them a night game? Like, let them play one night game and give them all their fucking glory. Like, I don't agree with that either, not just for Ohio State, but for Indiana. They're in the top five, for Christ's sakes. Give them a night game and let them enjoy it. Let the program be on a primetime stage so that they can get recruits off of it. I love that coach at Indiana. I think it would be helpful for those guys. But no, it's going to be a big fucking noon game. So sweet. 9 a.m. for you dicks on West Coast. 11 a.m. for us. And that's it. Rant over at that point.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to last week's hits and misses. Not a lot of misses last week, kids. Absolutely fucking destroyed it. And then we'll get to this week's picks coming up. First off was Maryland at Oregon. A lot, too many points in this one. I didn't bet it. Did you bet it?
No.
Man, I didn't take this in real life at all. Oregon rolled. They continued to roll. Next up was Ohio State at Purdue. It's Purdue, guys. I'm not going to fucking punch a baby or a mountain or something like that. Like, can't get my dick hard for a 1-8 team there. I don't know what's happened to Purdue, though, like, over the years. Purdue was always pretty decent. They would sneak out a couple wins over the years. Now they just don't anymore.
Brom left. He's at Louisville now.
He's at Louisville, but still, you couldn't get anybody to go to Purdue? That's worth a shit. Like, even Indiana did. 1-8 is embarrassing if you're Purdue. They've got a lot of pride there.
They got to fire Ryan Walters. That's the head coach. It was a very bizarre hire to me at the time. I said this before in the show. He was a mediocre defensive coordinator at Missouri, then went to Illinois and was a mediocre defensive coordinator there, and then somehow just has a great agent and I guess interviews well and got the fucking head coaching job after Brom left Purdue.
Okay. Well, he's terrible there, and it sucks to see that franchise where it's at. So I'm looking for somebody sent me a text to this thing the other day and asked me to bring it up because Barstool brought this up. Barstool wrote an article this morning that said, why isn't Will Howard getting more love for Heisman? He's had a great game managing year, but that's not like a Cam Ward stats or anything else. And then they compared his stats to Dylan Gabriel, who will probably be there, and they're virtually identical. Same amount of touchdowns, interceptions, all that other stuff up there, but that's not what Will Howard was brought in to do. He was brought in to be a game manager. Yeah, pop that up on screen and read those stats there.
So through 9 games, Will Howard, 22 passing TDs, 6 rushing TDs, 5 interceptions. Dylan Gabriel, 22, 6, 5. And the yards are very similar, too.
Yards are similar, and I know Howard has like an insane, like, he's only missing like 5 passes a game. And I know he's ahead of him QBR-wise in the league, but again, it's to me, if you look at those teams, Ohio State and Oregon, and we started with those teams, that's why we'll talk about it right now. Howard was brought in to be a game manager for this team,
and Heisman,
Dylan was brought in to win them a fucking national championship.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was brought in because they want to run a West Coast offense, which is not what Ohio State does at all, right? So
not anymore with Chip Kelly, correct?
Yeah, because I mean, they're Chip Kelly is using the fucking people they have on their roster, which is what a smart fucking OC does.
Yep.
But as far as Heisman consideration goes, style points matter. Like, what's his name? I can't remember his fucking name anymore. The quarterback for Georgia 2 years ago, their last natty.
Oh,
Stetson Bennett. Yeah. Stetson Bennett had as good or better numbers than anybody in football.
I think
year.
He did.
He did make New York.
He made New York once.
He should have won the Heisman, in my opinion.
Look, he won 2 national championships there.
But when it comes to Heisman, unless you're way ahead of everybody else statistically, like Burrow was in 19 or like Jaden Daniels was last year, it comes down to style points. And I think Jaden Daniels even benefited from style points last year because his numbers were better than everybody, but not so wide as Burrow's were. style points matter. That's why that's just how it is. That's I wouldn't be shocked if Travis Hunter wins, to be honest, because of how things had, like, Miami's lost now. Cam Ward had a not great game.
Yeah.
He's got to bounce back. And I mean, I don't think they really play anybody the rest of the year. So he's probably going to dump stats in, but we'll see how that goes. Genty, they're going to have to compete all the way down the line. So that actually plays in his favor. But Travis Hunter is, he's got style points. I don't think anybody else does, to be honest. Everybody else is compiling statistics. Travis Hunter is playing both sides of the ball at an elite level.
And if they win the Big 12 and get into the playoffs,
I think he should win.
I do too.
All things being considered, you know, I think he should probably win. That isn't to say that Ward hasn't had a great season. Genty is obviously the best running back in the country. Sorry about your boy at UCF, Delco. He's probably third place, right?
Well, RJ Harvey?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good, but we are 4-6.
You're 4-6. It's not even in the conversation because of that.
No, he won't be, yeah. I'm just saying, like, as far as running back talent goes, he's up. He's the top five guy, but...
By the way, Delco, I got that Quinshon Judkins answer. So... He went to Ohio State for, I think, $4 or $5 million. This is interesting.
It was six.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. There was interesting and something to follow for kind of the rest of football in regards to running backs. Specifically, because it's like, why do you leave Ole Miss after 2,000-yard seasons back-to-back? And I think he was all SEC and all that other shit for 2 years. Specifically, he left because he wanted to cut his carries in half, be fresh for the NFL, and make more money in the NFL as well. And they said, if you really pour into his stats, it's kind of crazy. So he's only got 106 carries on the year, which is, Genty has had that in three fucking games. Mm. He's got 650 yards, so he'll pass 1,000 yards. And he's got a 6.1 yard average per carry, which is fucking wild to me. And he wanted to split with Travion Henderson. They talked about it and said, both of them are going to the NFL. Let's split carries and try to be fresh, try to get as much money as we can in the NFL. You might see more people do that later in the future. I mean, shit, we'll see how it shakes out in the draft. But interesting story there, where he didn't want to run the ball and didn't want to be the guy every single down like Genty is.
What about if he beats Ohio State?
Who?
Curtis Rourke for Indiana.
I 100% agree. I would love to have him in the conversation for Indiana. For real. Like, that guy has fucking carried them. The one game they had without him, you know, they were able to get through it. But yeah, dude.
Well, you can see,
why not put him on at the Heisman?
You can see even from this conversation that style points really matter.
They do,
because it matters if you're on a good team. Not always. Like, you can be in a top, if you're a ranked team, you got a shot, right? But you got to be on a good team to be a front runner. Good team stats have to be there, but that's a lot of people. There's a lot of good teams with good players that have stats.
I would put Rourke in over Will Howard if you're going to have that conversation.
Rourke is second in the country in QBR.
Yeah, so he's 16-1 right now.
16-1.
If you think they can beat Ohio State, maybe you sprinkle a little money on Curtis Rourke.
I don't after last week, but we'll get to that.
I mean, New York is probably going to be Ward, Jackson Dart, Genty, and then Travis Hunter and one other person. Who's the other one?
Yes, who's the fifth?
I don't know who the fifth one is, but it's...
No, you can have five.
Yeah, they brought 5 1 year.
So you can have three or five, and that you can have four. They leave it open if there is a bunch of great people.
But if it's just four, it'll be Ward, Dart, Genty, and Hunter.
Because last
year, should be too.
They had Marvin Harrison there just to fill out a fifth. Yeah, you know?
I guess Gabriel would be in that conversation as well. But he's so close to McCord.
Howard.
Fucking McCord.
Yeah, but he beat
Howard. He's so close to Howard, and he beat him. Yeah,
he beat him, so he should.
Style points wise, he's funner to watch than what's his name? Howard.
Howard, yeah.
For sure. Like I enjoyed watching him play.
Howard is watching Alex Smith. Very accurate, very great, short passes, gets the job done, but nothing sexy there.
I mean, he might be good in the NFL.
He might be.
As far as Ohio State quarterbacks go, it's been pretty hit or miss.
Very hit or miss.
You could still
actually, it's been mostly miss, actually.
Yes,
but
yes, it has.
So Stroud.
Will Howard, I think Will Howard might be one of those guys that's better in the pros than he is in college.
Because he's a smart guy.
He's smart. He reads progressions quickly. And once you have, you know, once you have a real pro offense, it's a game changer, man. This is different. I mean, not to compare him to anybody, but he plays... he plays like Alex Smith, like Brady did early in his career, shit like that. Probably translates better to the
I know.
To the NFL game, you know.
Who is? Let's bring up the odds here for Heisman on my.
You can still get Dart at 20-1. So
I would take. I would sprinkle that because a couple of big games down the stretch. He's 90 or 89 or so off the lead for total yards, but he's averaging fucking 2 yards more per attempt than Cam Ward. He's pretty far behind on touchdowns, though. Cam Ward's got 32-6.
But let's say Jackson Dart takes some of the SEC championship and wins. And he has big numbers. Yeah, I could easily see him winning the Heisman Trophy. Those are the odds for him? Shit, dude. I'm going to pop that up here. Where are we at here in my
I don't know. Cam's got a lot of touchdowns.
He's got a lot of touchdowns, but, I mean, they didn't really play anybody. So right now, on my bookie, Travis Hunter is actually the favorite. Holy shit.
He should be.
At minus 140.
I think, I mean, do you guys agree with that? I think he should be the favorite.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah, in this field. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, you can make a case. The thing about everybody else is that you can make a case against them. I can make a case against Cam Ward for playing in the ACC. Yep. I can make, well, I guess Jackson Dart, you can't really make a case against. He's pretty solid on that.
Lost to Kentucky.
Yeah, that's true. He did lose Kentucky. And then Gabriel maybe is the one you can't make a case against. Genty plays where he plays.
Gabriel's number two on this list. Yeah. So as far as Vegas is concerned, my bookie is at 240 plus 242.
So Hunter and Gabriel are the two that are kind of resilient against any kind of, like, what would you say negatively about either one of those guys?
About Hunter? There's not
about
one,
either one.
There, about Hunter, Gabe, there's about nothing Gabriel I can well. Say.
Gabriel's got good stats on a high-powered team that's the first
that is number one
in
the
country.
Correct.
They've beat number two in the country already, blah, blah,
and
blah.
And if they end up, let's say they end up winning out and then winning the Big Ten championship, which... in my opinion, will probably be Ohio State.
Yeah.
How do you leave him off of there? But then again, if Travis Hunter wins the Big 12,
yeah.
How do you leave him off of there? And then Genty's at 3 right now on this list.
It gets really interesting if we get to the Big Ten championship game and Will Howard blows up Oregon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And sneak backdoors his way.
Yeah,
in there.
Because against Ohio State, Gabriel didn't exactly light it up. He played a good game. They both played good games.
Both
right?
were great.
But
yeah.
Like there wasn't nobody dominated on offense or anything like that. So and style points matter. If Ohio State comes back, beats Oregon, Will Howard is the reason they beat Oregon. He's got just as good a shot as anybody else.
But he's also the reason they lost Oregon. So
yeah, tough well, one. I mean, yeah, but that's like a split second decision down the stretch. It's not like he threw a pick or it's not like stupid shit like that.
Yeah. But yeah, Travis Hunter, man, just being, it's like Ohtani. They're just doing things that nobody's ever done before. So yeah, I agree with it. And then Genty is just a blast to watch. So yeah, I think he gets a spot no matter what. And he's racking up the carries there. Jesus Christ. What was it? 39 last game. Next up is, Georgia at Ole Miss. Talked about Ole Miss there. Jackson Dart was okay in this game, but it was pouring. Like if you were watching this, there was a lot of rain early on, sloppy fields, and then Georgia just got dismantled by Ole Miss. This was never really close, to be honest with you. Told you we'd get you. So we got this one on the show. We got it right. Georgia Tech beat Miami. Told you if King was playing, that would be it. Haynes King. He played. They won. Cam Ward still 348 and 3 touchdowns. I mean, he had the numbers.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It's just that that Miami is a team 3 for 10 on third down. You're going to lose that.
Mm-hmm.
That's Georgia Tech's game. If they're going to beat you, it's going to be in the trenches. Georgia Tech ran for 270 yards.
It's a gross game
in this game. If you let them beat you in the trenches and if you let them convert on third downs, they were 9 for 14. Georgia Tech was on third down. You can't win that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just bad coaching on Miami's part, to be honest.
And they gave Haynes King 20 carries there for Georgia Tech. I told you they were going to muck this up. It's going to be a gross game to watch. It'll be close towards the end. And Brent, that's exactly what happened.
Brent Key's a pretty good coach.
He is.
I don't know if he's going to stick around Georgia Tech. I think with the way football is these days, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to keep trying to ladder climb. I think it makes a lot more sense to stay at a program and try to build. Yeah.
Georgia Tech is one of those middle-class programs where pretty much everything is a lateral move except for like 10 programs.
Mm.
So why leave for somewhere else if you have a nice, comfortable thing?
But even if you're coaching fucking Vanderbilt, right now, does it make a lot of sense to look at some of the bigger SEC schools?
Yes, 100%.
I don't know if it does.
There are actual lacking resources at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, but that's a problem that can get solved with success.
And they have money at Vanderbilt.
Dude. Yeah, but this is Vandy's peak. In the SEC, this is as high, yeah, as good as it's going to get.
That is not a middle-class program. That is impossible.
I don't know if I agree with that because academic standards. There's a bunch of schools. Like there, you can say that about five or six schools right now. South Carolina's overperforming.
South Carolina has a high ceiling. South Carolina has a very high ceiling.
Spurrier showed that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't think they do.
When's the last time South Carolina was even in the title conversation?
Spurrier.
No, yeah, it wasn't.
What year was that?
They were in the 2000s.
They finished in the top five that year.
They finished fourth in the country in 2013.
2013.
So you're looking at 11 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the first time since the 80s that they were even competitive.
Yeah.
They made a couple SEC championship games with Spurrier. They have a serious ceiling. They're a middle class program with a big ceiling.
I don't know.
They have no academic standards. Vanderbilt has to like recruit guys that can go to class.
That part is true. Yeah,
that part is true. Yes, it's a very, very smart school. But I don't ever see South Carolina pulling out anything either. If I'm that coach at South Carolina, I stay there.
Yeah, put some respect, dude. South Carolina's got something cooking. They do.
We'll see. What is the record this year?
They're 6-3. They're ranked. They're going to be 7-3 after this week when they whoop Missouri's ass.
Yeah, and they're gonna.
Ah, look at that.
They're gonna fuck Clemson up in the rivalry game at the end of the year.
I mean, South Carolina is this year especially is your classic. They are suffering from the conference they're playing in. Honest, if they were an ACC team or even a Big Ten team, they would be almost a lock for the playoff, especially in the Big Ten. They'd be Indiana in the Big Ten right now.
Look. They just lost their opener because we watched it. God, who was it? Was it Florida that they lost to the opening game that they shouldn't have? They were up by like 17.
Who?
South Carolina.
No, they didn't lose to Florida.
Who was it?
I mean, this year they've lost. They've only lost to hitters. They lost to LSU.
LSU. That's right.
They lost
and they got fucked in that LSU game.
And they were up by like 17. That was the game. They were up by like 17, and then they came back and
they lost to Ole Miss. They lost to Ole Miss, which fair enough.
Yep. And then they lost to Bama by two.
Okay. So not bad. Not bad. We'll see if they can continue. I can't even name one person on their team. Can you? Who's their quarterback?
Sellers.
His first name?
He has the glasses, goggles.
Okay. I just never hear any clout or anything out of them. Like, as far as superstars and all that other shit go, Clowney is the last one I think I could name that was like a big name.
No, there's a quarterback. There's a wide receiver for the 49ers that's very, very good played for South Carolina.
Who's that?
Juwan Jennings?
No, Debo Samuel.
Did he really?
Yes. Yeah. South Carolina's has always had dudes.
Now they have a bunch of like stud receivers that are massive. Harbor's awesome. He's like a track star turned receiver. He's like 6'5".
So
Alshon Jeffrey was another one that went to South Carolina.
They always get studs.
Okay. Yeah. Cause our agent, for Hard AF Seltzer, went to school there, and we've taken meetings with their school, and I go, hey, what's the real shit there? Because I've never partied there, which is shocking. Have you? Mm-hmm. How is it?
I heard they
rage.
Yeah. Yes. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So what he told me was, he was like, look, man, it was similar to what Bob said about his school, where it's just like, hey, man, we can either fucking tailgate in the parking lot and party our asses off, but it's not necessarily mandatory to go in all the time.
Oh, no, so, their environment's insane. They do fucking sandstorm.
I know. I love it. I love the sandstorm. I love the whole thing.
No, they actually have a humongous stadium, too. It's pretty big.
They fill it up, too, even when they're like mediocre.
Should we do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
South Carolina is like a no-brainer.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, they get some dudes from time to time. I think Jadeveon Clowney gets
that's the last one I can remember.
He gets a lot of credit for one play that was a broken play. To be honest, he sucked in the NFL. Like, he was never...
And he's still playing.
He's still playing because he's a role player, and that's what he should have always been. He never should have been a first-round draft pick. So let's relax on that.
He's lazy. But
they put good dudes in the NFL. Also, their stadium is 80,000.
Yeah, it's big. Okay.
It's huge.
I mean, they've been putting good dudes in the NFL consistently for 30 years.
Well, you live there. Like, you live in South Carolina.
Sterling Sharp is a fucking South Carolina dude. Just current dude, Xavier Leggett. Right. Remember Kevin Harris from the Patriots back in the day? So he was a South Carolina guy.
Xavier Leggett's the starting wing wide receiver for the Panthers. Right.
Yeah, now. Cam Smith. I mean, they put like legit role players in the NFL on a consistent basis.
Every SEC school has dudes in a way that no other conference does. Every SEC school has fucking dudes.
Well, this look, the Southeast has got the best football players too.
Yeah, I think Florida leads the nation in
Texas
producing.
Texas does too. Yeah, it's Florida.
Well,
and
it depends on the position. Wide receivers are from Florida.
Yeah, I mean,
for some reason, I don't know what the fuck's going on down there.
No idea, but they're growing them down there. Speaking of Florida, they're up next here. They played against Texas. Didn't watch this game. Absolute fucking blowout. Did that kid not play, Lagway, for Florida?
Yeah, he's out.
He's out for the year? Okay.
I don't know if he's out for the year, but he's out.
Before, because I had to go coach a game, but before that, they said, hey, he was dressed, so I didn't get to see it and see if he played or not, and then I remember looking at the score at halftime, and I was like, oh my God, it's 35-0 Texas, and so I didn't even check back in on that.
Penn State wasted a whiteout game on Washington.
Man.
What are you going to do?
Another one, man, that Fox fucked up for them. Mm-hmm. 35-6, no need for the whiteout game to be this. Wasted on that.
You plan it a year and ahead, right? Like Washington was just in the national championship.
Yeah, but nobody, all their people left, including their coach. Nobody thought they were going to fucking be good this year.
It was supposed to be Ohio State the week before, and they didn't do it. Well, Fox bought it out, so there's nothing to do.
Tennessee handled Mississippi State. Mississippi State's
no
terrible.
Shock there. Michigan, now this one. Now here's where it gets fun for me. Michigan and Indiana, 20-15 in this game, and Michigan still has a very good defense. I know they have no offense. That was the first real defense that Indiana's seen all this year, so I feel pretty good about
it. I mean, Indiana was only able to run for 40 yards.
40.
4-0. I mean, they only had the ball for 26-52. They were just able to eke it out because Michigan has even less offense than, well, Michigan's got the least amount of offense I think I've ever seen at Michigan.
Yeah, they went back to that Warren kid at quarterback. So he was in
16
there.
16 for 32 for $137.
Oof.
Yeah.
It was bad. And then they put the backup quarterback in as the running back and let him run a few plays. And he had 1 yard rushing there. Like, Michigan's got to figure out a quarterback. Maybe what Portnoy said is true. He obviously said, I'm going to pay a top quarterback $3 million to come and be the quarterback at Michigan because I can't watch this shit anymore. So maybe he does it. We'll see.
Conversely, Indiana hasn't given up a touchdown for 7 quarters.
Who have they played?
The last two games. No touchdowns against Michigan, and then Michigan State scored a touchdown in the first quarter.
Okay.
I don't care who you play. That's fucking crazy. Those are Big Ten teams.
They are. Michigan's. They're both of these schools that are going through it offensively here. I'm looking at Washington, 31-17. Nebraska was a big win. Northwestern, Maryland, Charlotte, UCLA. Yeah. Best defense they've played this year for Michigan there. But a fun story. Should be a night game for those guys. At least give them their fucking flowers, dude. They dud it. BYU does not deserve to win this next game. My God, man. I was so fucking angry that I stayed up to watch this. So pissed off about this.
Yeah, Bob, I think you stayed up on this one too, didn't you?
I did, dude.
Oh,
I deal with my kids on like 5 hours sleep the next day. Same. For nothing.
So what is this, Big 12 just trying to box out Colorado? What's going on here?
Yep.
No,
trying to box out, trying to keep, it is always good for the conferences to have as many teams in the hunt as possible.
Yep.
Colorado just has to win out. They play BYU in the Big 12 championship.
Right. Yeah. But if BYU stays undefeated and loses the Big 12 championship, that's probably an at-large bid. Now you get two bids, not one bid. That
Correct.
Helps the conference.
Yep.
It behooves them at this point in the season to keep their big boys big.
It was a really, really late flag on a terrible call. And it allowed them to drive down the field. The coach of Utah lost his fucking mind.
AD,
rightfully
the AD.
So.
I don't think
all of them.
Wait, the AD was on the field?
He was on the sideline.
Yeah. Why?
Was going. I mean, that happens a lot.
Happens all the time, yeah.
Yeah.
ADs are, they always pop down.
They're not doing anything.
I know, that's just not a great idea to have another person to lose their shit down on the field, to be
honest.
Man,
he had every right to. That was a horrific call. So if you're a Utah fan out there, they really fucked you guys.
I don't think we got to worry about BYU. Kansas.
I don't think so either. Yeah,
Kansas is starting to figure things out. They got to go to Arizona State. Yeah,
a lot of these
lose.
BYU games have been close too. I'm with you. I don't know that they'll be in the conversation, but for this game, yeah, you call the flag like Bob says and try to jam in as many as you can because it's good for your conference. Next up, Florida State 1-9 against Notre Dame this week. Here, this story is more about Florida State and 1-9. God, man.
We also aren't giving Notre Dame their flowers. They're going to make the playoff.
They are, but we said that earlier on in the year.
If they were in a conference, I don't think they would.
I don't either. So who do they close out with? All right, so Florida State closes out with Charleston, Southern, maybe?
Yeah, Charleston Southern, yeah. It doesn't matter. Florida State, it doesn't matter who they play. They're fucking... They'll probably lose to Florida. Charleston Southern, I doubt they'll lose.
So you're looking at a... Are you looking at a 2-10 season here for Florida State, mm-hmm, after going undefeated last year?
Yeah.
Holy shit. If there was a bet on that on my bookie, I don't know that anyone would have taken that in the entire nation. For them to be this bad here. Wow. Now, if you're a Notre Dame fan, we talked about this either last week or the week before. Because you guys are not in a conference, you will not get a bye, so it doesn't really matter anyways. However, Bob, will they get a home game in that playoff?
Yes.
Yeah.
They will. Okay. So, a home game for Notre Dame on primetime on NBC, they'll jack off to that. NBC will all day long, I can tell you that. They've had that fucking contract for how many years? 50 years over there?
So, and Notre Dame closes out with Virginia, Army, and USC. They're not going to lose any of those games. Army's the only one that's even a threat, but it's at home. I think it'll be fine there.
Is it at USC?
Yeah, but they suck.
They do. However, there is a rumor behind the scenes that quarterback for USC is trying to play his way into a top program for next year, and he's going to get the fuck out of there. What's that kid's name?
Miller Moss.
Yeah. Keep an eye on that. He might turn it up for the last game of the year.
He's already top five in a lot of stuff. I don't think that's a problem for him. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, Notre Dame is they're in, right? They're in, yeah.
Probably
11-1,
unless they have a bad loss down the stretch. Is Army still undefeated?
Yeah, but I don't think they can beat him.
Mm, you never know. Bama called this one. Bama rolled LSU at LSU. LSU fans are pissed. They hate Brian Kelly. I told you when he got hired, the second he got hired, he'll never win a national championship with this team. He just fucking sucks. He just fucking sucks at life. So sorry, guys. LSU is a blast to party at. Dan and I would love to go back there to Tony Tamborello and those guys and tailgate. One of our favorite places in the nation. It's just Brian Kelly, man. You're going to be saddled with that guy forever. Next up is Nevada against Boise State. Shocker in this one, man. 7 points is a 25-point spread, and a 3-8 Nevada gave Boise State all they could handle up till the end there. Genty, another amazing game. 34 carries, though. My God. My God, he's got to be tired. 209 yards. How many carries does he have on the season, Genty? 224. Holy shit. Wow.
He's ready for the NFL. He's not even the leader in college football. Texas
carries?
Taj Brooks from Texas Tech has 235.
Holy shit, dude.
And then you've got 6 people with over 200 carries so far this year.
That's a lot of carries, man. Mm-hmm. A lot of carries. Next up, Iowa State. Told you this was never a real team all year. Don't bet any Iowa State game. They're going to lose. They lost to Kansas here in a 45-36 shootout. I didn't watch it. Did any of you guys up there watch this game?
No, there's other stuff on at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
anything else?
The new Matlock was on. I think they showed a rerun of that. It's Kathy Bates. She's playing the Andy Griffith character, which is fun. Next up, Virginia beat Pitt. This was never a real team all year long. Are they out of the top 25? Do you guys have to talk about them now?
I don't have to talk about Pitt, yeah.
Thank God. Yeah. Thank God. Colorado came back in the next game. 41-27 there. Shadur had a great game. Shit, mm-hmm, he's not listed on here for Heisman anymore on the MyBookie. Should he be there?
No.
Okay.
I mean, no, not... I mean, who would he bump off of that list?
No one, probably. You're right. No one. Because now Dion, after the game, said he's not on the list. Because he's Dion's kid.
No.
I mean, I don't think so.
No, he's got, I mean, no.
What are his stats right now?
24-6, but he doesn't run the ball.
Doesn't run the ball. QBR is 75. That's not bad. 2,882 yards passing, man. Shit.
He does have 4 rushing touchdowns, but a total of negative since, I mean, this is hard to gauge because college counts sacks as negative rushing yards, which is kind of stupid.
His TD and interception ratios are better than Howard and Dylan Gabriel right now. However,
not by that much, though.
No, but he's in a shittier conference. So yeah, that's maybe what they're looking at. So,
and he's not the best player on his own team.
Right,
that's,
right.
That's never a good
thing. His teammate is currently the favorite to win the Heisman right now on my bookie. Next up, Utah State versus Washington State. Good for these guys. Interesting. Is there a path to, for Washington State?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, technically they're going to win the fucking Pac-12.
So what do you do then?
I don't know.
I would love to see him in just because fuck everybody, man. They got screwed in this.
It's weird how, I mean, they are actually a pretty decent team, and they're playing the first time they've been decent in a very long time, and there's no conference.
No.
So nobody cares.
No one cares, man. It's pretty funny. It just pops up there. Clemson barely beat Georgia or Virginia Tech in this one.
That's embarrassing.
It is. That's why I said don't bet this game. I don't know how much they care now.
Klubnik was 16 for 34. That's about 48%.
Against Virginia Tech?
Yeah.
I think you gotta keep Clemson out of the playoff, even if they end up with two losses.
Way out. I agree.
Who have they beaten?
Exactly.
No wins.
Nope. Keep them out. Next up is Oklahoma at Mizzou here. Close game. So is Brady Cook done for the year?
No, he's just out. I don't know what the timeline is from last I saw, but he has not been declared out for the year. He's just week to week, I guess.
Is he playing next week? Because no, that's going to help or hurt our spread here. Mm-hmm. So look that up, and then I'll do ads here. Army ended up beating North Texas, if you give a shit about that, but it was 14-3 in that. So, you know, have fun with it, I guess.
And then before we get to ads, just so you know, when you're doing the next week, week 12.
Yeah.
If you're going down the ESPN page, it's not up to date because they haven't released the college football playoff rankings.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it'll be based on the AP rankings. It comes out tonight,
correct?
Yes. It comes out tonight. So yes. If you go through the sheet right now, it's going to be out of date.
100%. And that's just because they like to do this fun show. And even that one doesn't do well in the ratings. Like, what's that for? You know? What's that eight-week show that they do
for? What else are they
going
to put on?
I know. Well, college basketball. I mean, shit. Let's see some college basketball. I'm good with that. This shit, we all kind of know. I mean, we could all guess this on a week-to-week basis. So what's the fucking difference over there? Brought to you, as always, by our title sponsor, MyBookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Tons to bet on. Obviously college football, which we're doing now, NFL this weekend, dude. Combat sports wise is fucking rad. Friday night Netflix, Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul. You can bet on the fights over there. Great juicy odds if you believe in Mike Tyson. I do, so I'm actually going to bet a lot on Mike Tyson. Also, D'Anthony Holloway and I will be giving away a signed Mike Tyson glove on our Instagram page there on Drinking Bros and Drinking Bros Sports. All you got to do when we post the video towards the end of the week is just guess the winner, the round, and the prediction there. First one to do it. So that way there's a time code there. We will send you a signed glove from Iron Mike Tyson. Hopefully he will win because I'll be there with my child. And he loves Jake Paul. It's nice to see heroes get crushed in real life, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that's fun, and it's a nice teaching moment. So we'll see what happens. But tons of stuff to bet on. Plenty of props for all this stuff across the board. They average on football games usually 300 props per game. So they're the best in the biz. Their teasers are the best in the biz where you can jack it up 7 points, 13 in some cases, or down to 6. Big fan of them. Always have been. And then, Bob, tell us about the rakebacks over there for MyBookie.
Sometimes you have a bad weekend. MyBookie, if you're part of the MyBookie Plus Rewards program, which you are if you're a regular player, don't have to pay anything, don't even have to sign up. You just qualify after a while. If you have a bad weekend, MyBookie will toss you a little money back and say, hey, we know you like to play. We know you like to have a little skin in the game when you watch a game. So here's a little money to keep playing. Sorry about your bad weekend. Yeah, it's awesome.
It's awesome. I had a great weekend this week in college. Only missed one game. It was that stupid BYU game at -2.5. Everything else hit, and it was great. And then I fucking lost on that Monday night game last night. God damn, dude. Dolphins came out of nowhere for that fucking bullshit game. Whatever, man. Go to mybookie.com. Enter that promo code Drinking Bros to double that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Next up, we got drinkingbrostickets.com. If you want tickets to any of these games, they're actually pretty cheap, except for the Ohio State game. People are just going for the novelty of it. I know Northwestern isn't very good, but it is on Wrigley Field. And if it wasn't a noon game, I'd go in 10 seconds. Problem is, not only is this a fucking noon game, but in Chicago, This is an 11 a.m. start time for Ohio State, which fucking sucks all the way around, man. Wrigley Field is the best. It's my favorite baseball stadium there is. It would have been awesome to go to this, and I tried to work this out. There's just no flights that'll get me out of there in time for a goddamn 11 a.m. game there. Fuck you guys. But the rest of the tickets are pretty cheap across the board for all of college football this week, except for Tennessee. That Tennessee-Georgia game is big boy numbers there. That's going to be a fun one. That's Georgia's biggest home game of the year, too. And they're coming off a bad loss. So, yeah, that's going to be a fun game, which we'll get to. Tickets are about $10 cheaper than StubHub over there. Head on over to drinkitbrostickets.com. Concerts, rodeos, monster trucks, comedians, everything you can get on StubHub, you can get on there. Last but not least is hardafseltzer.com. All right. We've been telling you in all the shows. Going to tell you again. We're giving you, the listeners, 30% of the company. You can actually invest in the company at WeFunder.com/HardAFSeltzer. That is WeFunder.com/HardAFSeltzer. And we're opening up new states rapidly. We're signing colleges rapidly. We're talking to currently 6 more right now. Penn State. Those cans will be live in March. We'll be live in Pennsylvania there in March. And Idaho just opened. All the stores are up. So if you're in Drinkin' Bros, Idaho, those are posted right now. All the new flavors are in Idaho, and Montana will be opening shortly there. Same distributor, so it's Watkins. So if you go into any of your bars or restaurants or whatever and you want it in there, just tell them, hey, Watkins Distribution is doing Idaho, and they're also doing Montana for us. But we appreciate all the investment, and yes, please help us out and join our company with us at WeFunder.com/HardAFSeltzer. If you want to try the product before investing in it, go to HardAFSeltzer.com, go to the store locator, enter your city or zip, and it'll take you to the closest location nearest you. Just buy a 12-pack, see if you like it. They all taste like liquid Jolly Ranchers now, so let's rage. All right, speaking of raging, I was supposed to rage at this game, and then they fucked me. 11 a.m., Ohio State against Northwestern at Wrigley Field. This is Ohio State minus 28.5. D'Anthony, who you got?
I'm not doing 28.5.
Yep. So I said that last week.
But I'll take.
I'm doing 37.5.
I'll take the over, 44.5 over. I think Florida State's going to score that probably. Or Florida State. What the fuck, Ohio State?
Ohio State. Bob, do me a weird favor if you can here.
Get your dick out.
Pull your dick out. Show it to me. Let me taste it. And then put it back inside your
pants.
Here's, don't tell me.
Iowa put up 40 on Northwestern 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Ohio State probably puts up 50 by themselves.
I think so, too.
But I don't know if they're...
But I want to see this field. Like, what are they going
to
do?
Well,
with
the first time they fucked it up, right?
So yes.
They had to play only in one direction,
correct,
which is weird.
Yeah.
I think they fixed it.
I think so,
that's,
too.
That's what I heard, but I don't know. It seems the dimensions... I said this when we were talking about this game preseason, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever gone from your small, like, church or high school basketball gym that has brick right behind the fucking... goals,
yeah,
to a wide ass open arena style, it definitely, I think they actually addressed it in Hoosiers, right?
They did.
He walked up and measured the fucking thing.
Yeah, the rim, yeah.
It's always the same, but the depth perception is quite a bit different. I don't know if that's going to play a factor here. This looks pretty good, actually.
Well,
I mean, compared to the last one they had it at an angle, I think,
yeah,
left field was one of the end zones. And it was completely
fucked. Well, look
at
that. I mean,
still is, but they fixed it a little bit.
Well, this is right field, not left
field. Right
field,
yeah.
Obviously.
So they switched sides there. Man, that's not a lot of room, though, if you're a wide receiver, Bob.
It's not even a lot of room on this end. Look at this corner down here.
Yeah, you got maybe an additional 10 feet on the other goal line. So.
I mean, you try to run a fade.
Yeah,
well, you know,
there's no fades. I don't want to throw to Jeremiah Smith and risk an injury for that bullshit.
The good news is... You can push off of the wall a little bit and push yourself back in bounds, maybe. I mean, technically, you'd be out of bounds.
Then, yeah.
But if you were to, the way the rule works, you have to establish yourself in bounds again after you're out of bounds. So technically speaking, if you ran out of the back of the end zone, push yourself back in, 1 foot, because it's college, 1 foot hits the ground, then you catch the ball, that's a catch. Just saying. So maybe take that into consideration, a little arena football league style. Here.
Bizarre. Yeah. I'll do the same. I'll do the over in this at 44.5. I know why they did it. They probably think Ohio State will score 45, but yeah. I'm fine with that. I ended up taking the 37.5 last week and put it in Drinker Bros Sports, was 500. Sorry. Not sorry we won on that game, but 28 and a half on this weird field is, oh
yeah.
But why risk an injury? You got Indiana the week after.
I do think that Ohio State's going to pop in 45 of their own.
Yes,
and they're probably going to give up 3-10.
Yeah.
So I think the over is safe.
Yeah. Next up, we got Texas at Arkansas. Man, we've said this all year round, that at Arkansas, anything can happen, and it's been weird for fucking teams this year. It's Texas minus 13 and a half. What do you think there?
It's too many points. Arkansas wants to spoil it, and they know the only way to do it is to gum this up.
This is a rivalry.
I was going to say, this used to be a rivalry.
For and Arkansas, now it still is.
It is. So I think they're going to play hard. I'm going to take Arkansas plus the points, and I think this game is a lot closer than people think it will be. Is this another 11 a.m. game?
Yeah.
God,
an absolute travesty that this is, especially when you look at the night games this week, there's only like one.
Georgia-Tennessee is worth it, yeah.
All the other night games, this is bullshit that this isn't a primetime game.
I agree. Man. 11 a.m. for this, for these kids. Because if you're a player, too, playing at 11 a.m. isn't the best. It's a true 11 a.m. game for these guys.
This is an advantage for Texas, though, I think.
You think so?
It's a road game. Yeah, I do. I mean, Arkansas is going to get up no matter what. But a couple years ago, Texas went...
fans and shit?
Yeah, Texas went to Arkansas a couple years ago at night, and that stadium was as loud as I have ever seen it.
I know. Man, it really would have helped Arkansas on this one. But give me the points. I think Texas pulls it out in the end. But if you're out there and you're looking to sprinkle, I get it. It used to be a rivalry game, and they care. Next up is Clemson at Pittsburgh. Oh, man, thank God. One of these teams will have one more loss. Pittsburgh is still ranked, huh? 18.
It's a shallow bottom.
Again, they're not ranked.
Oh, because of tonight's thing?
All of this on ESPN is old rankings from last week.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, we might need to actually move this show to
Wednesday, right? Because of that stupid shit. God, I mean, they're just sucking every last cent they can out of this bullshit now, aren't they? It's nuts. Clemson -10.
On the AP, they're not ranked anymore, and they won't be.
Okay. All right, Clemson -10 in this one. Who you got?
Nah.
Me neither. You could flip a coin for this one, and whoever won, and I wouldn't be shocked by it. I'm not going to bet it. Next up, Utah at Colorado.
Now, this one's interesting because Utah is a pretty assembled team. They just don't have a quarterback, and so which means that your top-line skill position guys are for naught.
And they got a decent defense.
Defense is pretty good. I think they hold the game close. They definitely want to spoil Colorado. They're both pretty well-coached teams, too.
Yeah.
Right? So this is a good matchup. I think 10 might be too much.
Utah's had some injuries, and that's the only reason they're 4-5.
I just think 10's too much. I think this is probably a late decision game, single score. So I'm going to take Utah plus 10.
Yeah, I'm going to take the points. I'll bump this up a half a point. Just so it's 10.5, but I'll be taking Utah as well. I think it's too many points. And another shitty thing, like, this is a good game. It really is. I know Utah's 4-5, but they're in it every single week, and they should have beat BYU last week. And this is at 11 a.m. in Colorado. What the fuck, bro? Tickets are expensive, so people are going.
By the way, it's 10 a.m. local.
Oh, God.
This game starts at 10 a.m. in fucking Boulder.
Holy shit.
That is egregious. That is fucked up.
My 6-year-old plays at 10 a.m.
That is
on Saturdays.
Colorado should be lobbying a complaint with the Big 12 right now. Like, that is
I agree, man. I did not know that was a true 10 a.m. game for these guys. And that's, again, because Utah is a good team. It's not like you're playing the next game. Like, fucking Bama playing Mercer. Cool, man. It's an FBS school, whatever. You want to put that on at fucking 11? Fine. But that game, that sucks for those kids. Shit. And their fans. God damn, dude. Yeah. Give me Utah 10.5. Next up, there's no spread. Mercer, Bama. Mercer is a D2 school? So
I don't even know.
I don't either. This late in the year, we're still doing that, huh? Okay. Next up, Penn State at Purdue. This is Penn State -28.5. Who you got, Anthony?
Yeah, I'll take that. Penn State needs style points.
They do, and they don't. I mean, they're in no matter what. They want that first home game.
Yeah, you want a home game. So you want to get top five if you can.
Yes.
Right? Style, like whipping a couple of people's asses down the stretch will get you to the top five because something's going to happen, right? So I think you want top five.
And Penn State is, let's see, who do they got left? Purdue, Minnesota, Maryland, yeah.
Yeah. They need to rock all three of those guys.
Minnesota, maybe. They might trip up with Minnesota.
Yeah, it's always a possibility, but I think they'll be fine.
I think they'll be fine, too, and I think they're in. A December 20th game in Pennsylvania against, let's say it was an SEC school, that would shock somebody's fucking soul up there. Holy shit.
I mean,
I'm rooting to see it. I want to see it. I want to see what happens.
I wonder what, like, even if it's, let's say it's Miami and Cam Ward or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what his stats are playing because the ACC doesn't typically play. Where was he at before?
He was at Washington State, Bob.
Yeah. So he might have some good experience. He might be okay.
But he might be all right.
You've seen Tua both in college and pro under 60 degrees. He's like 1-14 or some shit like that.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
Some guys just can't handle it.
Give me a Penn State on December 20th. That'd be a blast. Just to watch as a fan. Next up is Virginia at Notre Dame. This is Notre Dame minus 23 here. I'm not touching the Penn State game, by the way, at 28.5. Just so we're clear. Who you got in this one?
Yeah, I'll take Notre Dame. I mean, Riley Leonard is going to run and throw all over Virginia, to be honest. Like, Notre Dame's actually having fun playing ball right now. They got nothing to lose. They're not going to lose this game. It's at home. They're going to put on a show. I think 23 is fine.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to lose this game either. Who did Virginia play close recently? Was it last week?
They just beat Pitt.
I mean, it would have been ACC team.
Yeah.
So not a real team.
Yeah, true.
They got beat by fucking 17 by Clemson. They got stomped by North Carolina. They just happened to squeak one out against Pitt. They're not good.
Yeah. Notre Dame should be fine in this game. Next up is Boston College at SMU. This is SMU minus 17. Who you got?
I'll take Boston College money. No, I'm just kidding. SMU is probably fine here.
Ponies.
Might take it to 16.5. We'll see how this spread moves. I'm going to wait on this one and see if it drops at all. Because there's a lot of SMU haters out there.
Well, and there is some breaking news here. So BC is going to start a new quarterback.
Yeah, with no Tommy.
Yeah. Castanellos is, they're going to start somebody named James. I don't know.
Yeah, he played last week. James. Okay. And he won. He beat Syracuse. So he looked pretty good.
It's a strong ground game.
I don't give a fuck. Ponies cover big.
Let's see here. Let me look at this one more time. What's the spread on the 17? Dip this up half a point. Give me the points in BC.
I mean,
17.5.
You're talking about Tommy Castellanos. He was 2 for 7 for 14 yards.
I think he just runs the ball, right? Castellanos is out.
He ran the ball. So Grayson James is the other one. He was 5 for 6 for 51.
He's starting this week.
Did not run the ball ever. So
okay. BC, though, runs the ball a lot.
Yeah, but this guy doesn't, this quarterback.
I'll take Bill O'Brien. It's just Bill O'Brien. Give me Bill O'Brien plus 17.5 in this one. I'll do it. Next up, you got LSU at Florida. LSU's only minus 4.5 in this one. Why? Why is that a thing?
Because
is Lagway coming back?
They're just, in the swamp.
They're so up and down, man.
LSU.
Yeah, they've not been good against good teams. They beat Ole Miss, but they got whipped by USC. A&M in Alabama. Anytime they play a decent team, they just don't seem to look very good.
But is Florida decent?
No, but that tells you something about the composition of the team.
Yeah. What'd you say about Lagway?
Lagway might play.
Oh,
no,
gotcha.
No official word yet.
All right. Give me LSU. I don't think Brian Kelly can afford to go 6-4. That would be... They would fucking start to burn his office down there.
Mm.
I'll give me LSU in this one. In some form of bounce back game. I mean, that Nussmeier kid's not bad. That's strange. Strange what's going on at LSU. Next up is Louisville at Stanford. This is Louisville minus 20. Do you care about this game?
Nope.
Me neither. Can't bring myself to care there. Now here we go. Now we care here. Missouri at South Carolina. 3:30 game there. South Carolina minus 12?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Moving towards South Carolina, too.
Whoa.
Moneyline, Missouri, Eli Drinkwitz owns Beamer. Beamer has not beaten Drink once.
Not a prayer.
South Carolina is weak. Drew Pine found his rhythm in the second half.
He certainly didn't.
We're back, boys. We got it. We're good to go.
Missouri the coach wins said it. You're a playoff team after last week.
No, yeah. Drink said that, yeah.
Not after this week. South Carolina by 3 touchdowns.
Nah, Missouri rolls. South Carolina's soft as fuck.
Boy, after all that talk about how great South Carolina was for a good 20 minutes out of you.
No, we said the program. I mean, they are a good team, but the program also has a high ceiling.
Well, apparently that ceiling is minus 12.
Yeah.
And that is against a ranked team. Missouri's still ranked, right?
Yeah.
Shit.
I mean, I'll take Missouri plus 12.
Is Cook playing?
I don't care.
I do.
They'll run the ball and play good defense. I don't care about that.
South Carolina's defensive line is going to terrorize whoever's in the backfield for Missouri. Mizzou might score like 7 points.
South Carolina ain't scoring shit.
South Carolina's going to put up 30.
Nah, they can't score on
31-7.
They can't score on us.
Yeah, that's a lot of points, man.
I think both you guys might be retarded.
Yeah, both mentally and physically.
Yeah, well...
Definitely I want an apology when South Carolina wins 31-7.
No.
Yeah, that'd be really funny, though.
No, I refuse to apologize to anybody I'm paying.
Are you...
Same that goes for prostitutes, by the way. It's not just about regular employees. Contractors included.
Exactly. Are you in a safe space, Bob, that day? Do you have anything on the books? Like,
I'll just be in my home.
Birthday-wise? Oh, kids,
yeah. Yeah, you might want to send the kids out for that one. If South Carolina's going to whoop them, you might want to send the kids to your in-law's house or something.
Yeah. We have a pretty filthy Mexican restaurant across the street with a TV at the bar. I'll just go there and do things.
Okay. Just yell in Spanish?
Yeah.
Smart. That's a lot of points for me, man. I'll put this in a teaser and take South Carolina, but that's a lot of fucking points.
And by the way, they don't think anybody's going to score.
The over-under is 44 and a half. All of this is shocking to me right now. I'm just like, what the fuck? I don't think I've ever seen a ranked team with a 12-point spread. I mean, that's nuts, dude, against an unranked team.
It's not great.
No. Next up, we got Boise State at San Jose State. This is Boise minus 13 and a half. Look, you know the rules, kids. Always bet on Boise. However, they didn't
cover for me last
week.
St. Joe's pretty good, though.
Yes.
St. Joe's not like, as far as Mountain West goes, that's a pretty solid program.
We're not terrible. And this could be a close game here, but I just can't go against my Boise Broncos.
13 and a half is a lot.
It is.
For a team that primarily runs the ball, but...
Yeah. Over-unders, it's 61 and a half.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, a fun game, not good necessarily.
But it'll be on. It's a night game, so I'll have that on in the quad on YouTube TV.
I mean, there's the only other game on at that time that's good is Tennessee-Georgia, and we don't know necessarily if that's going to be good or not.
Disagree. Our next game is also very good.
I agree, too, and it's Arizona State at Kansas State. Kansas State minus 9.
I don't think it's going to be that good. Well, I guess it will be a good game because I think Arizona State's going to win this
so
game.
So do I. I'm going to go money line Arizona State same. On this one.
Yeah, I'm money line ASU.
I don't think this. Kansas State is when they play
they
these,
just lose the big games.
Yes.
Right? They lose the big games. Arizona State is a fucking solid program that sneaks up and gets somebody every fucking year. Every year. Avery Johnson is... I think okay.
He's going to be good.
He's going to be. He's like he's super young though, right?
He's really young.
The only thing that bothers me is I can already hear the name Scadabo over and over
again. Can't wait. I love it. I love it so much.
I like it a couple of times, but you don't have to. The guy runs for 1 yard. You don't have to fucking enunciate every
dude. I told you that every fucking guy makes hay out of that name on every play.
It's
the best, dude. I love it.
No.
Who doesn't love a white running back named Scadabo?
I do. This guy does.
I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is they run a fucking draw play. He gets a yard and a half, like Scadabo for a yard and a half. Like no,
yeah,
no.
Now he earned that yard and a half.
Not one prayer. Do you get that kind of call for a yard and a half?
Give me Scadabo money line plus 9. That'll be juicy, I bet, too. That'll be probably close to 3-1 at the end of the day. Let's fucking go, dude. That'll be probably a plus 290, I'm guessing. Next up is Oregon at Wisconsin. This is Oregon minus 14 and a half. God, Wisconsin just can't pull it together here. Any chance that they pull something off here?
No, this is, I think this is a 2-touchdown game, so 14 and a half is too much, but I wouldn't bet against it either. So maybe I'll buy a point. We'll see how the line moves. I would take it at 13.5. I will not take it at 14.5.
I'll just say this. They had a 2-game losing streak earlier in the year, an embarrassing one, blown out by Alabama, blown out by USC. They win 3 in a row. What do they do again? They get blown out twice in a row. I think they're going to come out swinging at night. It's, what is it?
Camp Randall.
What do they call it, though? What's the nickname?
Jump around, though?
What are you asking?
Come out to jump around.
Yeah, they come out to whatever. Whatever it is, it's going to be a tough game for Oregon. I think Oregon's going to, I don't think Oregon covers.
Oof. I'm with you, by the way, on this. Give me a half. I think Oregon wins by 2 touchdowns. Give me a half a point just in case of a push, but Oregon looks really good. Wisconsin is not this year. So I'll bump this down a half a point and take Oregon. Next up, game of the weekend. Here we go. Is this going to determine a lot? Tennessee at Georgia. Georgia minus 10? Holy shit. I was not expecting that. Georgia minus 10?
What's Heupel doing big games, Bob?
Not a lot.
He loses.
Now, he's beaten Alabama a couple times in big games, but otherwise...
At Tennessee, though.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, that's
in Athens,
quite the accomplishment, yeah,
is. Yeah. Beating Alabama anywhere under Saban or DeBoer for that matter is a big deal.
Yeah.
The real problem in Tennessee is not a big takeaway team. If they were, then I would fucking give them a little credit here because Beck has not handled that well this year. I think Georgia might be leading the SEC in turnovers, actually. They got to be close.
Hey, Beck is 17 TDs and 12 interceptions on the season. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Doesn't he have a couple of fumbles too?
Yeah. I think he's got like 20 turnovers. I'm going to bump this up a half a point. Give me Tennessee plus 10.5. I think it's a close game. I think it's a one score game. I don't see it being past 10. I just can't imagine that. Heupel would really have to shit the bed.
Well, he does that, but I don't think Georgia's that good.
I don't either, but I can't. Yeah. That's too many points. I'll take Tennessee plus 10.5. Who you taking?
I'll take the under 48.5.
Okay. Because Georgia's having a hard time scoring. And so does Tennessee in some of these bigger games.
They will
so.
Against Georgia.
Yeah. Next up, we got New Mexico State. Actually, this is the big one. Who do you guys got in this one? Tennessee, Georgia?
At Georgia.
Yeah, I think Georgia. Coming off a loss. A Kirby team coming off a loss.
Kirby's not going to lose too straight.
Yeah.
But does he cover 10?
Yeah, I think it's throat ripping.
I think they fucking smash Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm still going to take the 10.5 Tennessee.
Georgia's got a -3 turnover ratio this year. Tennessee's got a +4 turnover ratio.
Interesting.
Make of that whatever you want.
Interesting. Next up, we got New Mexico State at Texas A&M. Another night game there. Thank God they got a night game for a spread that's minus 39. Way to go, fuck faces. I don't touch this at 39. That's a gajillion points.
Move on.
Jesus Christ. Get out of my face with this bullshit.
Meanwhile, primetime on Fox.
Yeah.
Primetime.
Primetime for Fox.
On broadcast television.
Yep. Cincinnati at Iowa State. That 5-4 Cincinnati team that you love. And the spread for Iowa State, I say this every week, is always embarrassing. It's -9 for a team that's 5-4 and you're at home in a fucking night game. Jesus Christ. I will never bet on Iowa State, ever.
Mm-mm.
Ever. In the history of this program, I've never bet on Iowa State.
If there was a bet where if I won, they would lose their college football program entirely, I would do that.
I would too.
They're also not ranked.
Yeah.
No, they won't be.
No, they aren't.
No, I know, but why is that the Fox night game?
I don't know.
Why?
Oh, we could talk Tulane Navy.
No, thank you. You guys can.
No, you should. Because Tulane's top 25.
Yeah, they're ranked.
Oh, they are now?
Yeah, down in New Orleans.
Gumbo, what's the spread? What's the spread, boy?
I believe it's 7.
And by the way, South Carolina also ranked.
Yeah, it's 7.
Oh, no, they're now ranked?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Good for them.
They're at Navy, and it is... It is +7 Navy. I might take Navy.
Yeah.
+7 there.
Why not? Why not?
Just for shits and gigs.
Just for the fucking troops.
Tulane is smashing fools. They're going to make a run.
I'm sure they will. I don't. That's just something I don't follow, dude. And I don't trust.
They can make
the playoffs. They can. I don't want to tell you guys, though, at home.
When you say
I don't watch that team, so like I'm not going to tell you at home to bet on this shit.
When you say smashing fools, you're talking about Temple, Charlotte, North Texas, Rice, UAB, and South Florida, right?
Fools.
Yeah. This is...
Navy is a good team, and they're going to beat Tulane.
Well, didn't Navy, did they lose their quarterback? Was that them? Or was that Army?
Army, but he's back.
Okay. All right.
Navy's at full strength, I think. Yeah, I'll take Navy plus +7 on that one. Not that it's on our list, but it should be.
Yeah. Washington State at New Mexico is the next one up here. Washington State minus -12.5.
New Mexico turns the ball over like every third possession. For real. I think they might be the worst in the country in D1 at turnover. So, yeah, I'll take Washington State.
This is the funnest over-under for the entire week.
72.5?
72.5.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, not seen one that high in a long time.
Washington State doesn't have a super good defense, but they'll probably have at least one defensive score in this game because of how much fucking New Mexico turns the ball over. 72.5, you got to just watch this game. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take the over just for fun.
Just to do it.
So, I'm going to bet over 72.5.
I'll throw a hunch on it just to root for it. Why not? I did that last
time. We haven't had a whole lot of like fucking 80-point games this year.
So we've been doing this show for what, 7 years now?
Since 2018.
Yeah. The highest over I ever bet my entire life was it was 74.5, and it was Boise State.
No, there was another one we bet together. It was 82.5. I can't remember who it was.
Oh, you're right. It was
USC. Was it USC or somebody? Or? Somebody was dropping 60 every fucking week.
It was somebody crazy.
I don't remember who it was.
I know the first one on this show though was Boise State minus -74.5. I bet it. I was actually in Vegas for it, and it was a night game. Mm. So I went to dinner. And then we popped back over to the sports book to see what the final score was, and it was 76-0. They covered, and I've never laughed that hard in my entire life.
I haven't. Whenever it's super high like that, I never bet the under because I got burned. There was an 84.5 one time I bet the under on, and it was they both scored 50. Like, God fucking damn it,
man. I know. I remember that USC UCLA game 2 years ago being very high as well, and then they covered. They scored like a fucking 100 points. And then last but not least here, BYU night game against Kansas.
Dangerous.
For ESPN there. This is a very low spread for a team that is in the top 10. It's BYU minus -3. Kansas is 3-6. What am I missing here?
Well, Kansas has lost to solid teams for the most part. Like K-State, Arizona State, TCU is okay.
Illinois.
Illinois, West Virginia, but it was at West Virginia. And then UNLV, who's pretty good this year too, so their record, they're not as bad as their record.
It's a fairly tough schedule.
They're not nearly as bad as 3-6, which is interesting to say of a Big 12 team, because you don't think of a Big 12 team having a tough schedule, but they just caught all the good teams.
Yeah. Give me BYU.
BYU will handle it. Yeah, and the refs will handle it for them. Exactly. If they don't, you know what I mean?
Give me BYU minus -2.5. I'll do this game, and it'll be late. And there'll be nothing on, so we'll be watching this fucking game, and then that'll be that.
Bob's going to stay up for this game, and it's going to be 2021 again.
It's exactly. Fucked up that I'm going to be sitting here rooting for Kansas, but here we are.
I wouldn't recommend that. You'll go to hell, I think.
I know.
And then this is from Chuck Liddell. I was talking to Chuck right before the show here in regards to...
Yeah, what's his pick?
Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. So... He's actually going to the John Jones fight there.
Mickey's fighting there too.
Mickey Gall is on the undercard because this is widely expected to be John Jones' last fight ever.
Because he's a coward. He's a scared coward who doesn't want to fight Tom
Aspinall.
We'll let
him know. 38 years old.
We'll let him know you said that.
Exactly.
he doesn't want to fight Tom Aspinall. That's it.
He's 38 now.
I don't want to fight Tom Aspinall either.
Time has passed him, and I agree. Is he the greatest of all time?
No,
he's
Dana White says he is.
He's one of
Dana
them,
White
for sure.
Loves to say that when nobody asks him. Dana White during his press conference with Trump was probably like, "John Jones is the greatest to ever live."
No,
yeah. What do you think?
Do I think he's the best ever?
Yeah.
No, I think Anderson Silva's the
best.
Yes,
in his prime, Anderson Silva's the answer.
He won 11 consecutive title fights. Okay. Nobody's ever even come close to the kind of dominance that Anderson Silva had, and he also didn't miss any time during that period.
How about Khabib?
Well, yeah, but Khabib
didn't
have
stay around long enough.
That's the whole thing. Anderson Silva stayed too long.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, breaking his leg on homeboy's shin like that was fucking nasty. And it just happens. There's only so many fucking leg kicks you can take before you get compound fracture.
GSP as well.
Yeah, GSP.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll read word for word what
and Money Mouse,
like,
of course.
Well, just dominance-wise, GSP's there. He was dominating people. Yeah. I mean, you got to even, if you're going to talk about all the way back, you've got to add fucking Matt Hughes in there probably too, right? Matt Hughes had a pretty dominant stretch.
Chuck was the funnest. He's the one that got me
into. Chuck had a pretty good stretch. Chuck's one of the people that actually put UFC on the map.
He's an entertainer.
He didn't have a super long window of peak performance, but he put UFC on the map in a lot of ways. Anyways, what'd he say?
I agree. So I talked to him and I said, Mike's going to win this, right? Like, what are we doing here? And he said, but I go, what about the power? At 58 years old. And he says, look, power is the last thing to go.
Rotational trunk power, yeah.
So he said, that's fine for Mike Tyson. He said, Jake is a puncher, not slick stick and move boxer. He likes to exchange. I've heard some people talk about Mike's chin because he's old, like everything else. Age affects different fighters differently. Loss of ability to take a punch is not a foregone conclusion. And it happens to some of us, not all of us. And he was including himself in that conversation, which is awesome.
Well, he had to go do fucking 2 years worth of stem cell treatments to get his brain healthy again.
Yeah.
Because you saw that last fight against, what's his nuts? What's his name?
Tito.
Tito, yeah. He got barely clipped on the chin. He's like, out. Your brain just fucking, it'll shut down after a while.
But Mike hasn't been in a... The last one I watched him in was an exhibition fight against Roy Jones, I think it was. And he looked good in that. Mm. They wouldn't let you knock the other person out in this one. They are in this one. It's an officially sanctioned fight, and I'm going to roll with Tyson.
Was that the same card Jake Paul fought Nate Robinson?
Yes. Yes, it was, actually. You're right. Shit. I think they allowed Jake Paul to fight in that fucking thing.
Tyson,
I think you're right.
Tyson by knockout is down to 250, by the way. It was at 270 yesterday.
Oof. I'm going to get it in after the show.
Yeah, you better put it in. But then also sprinkle Paul by decision at 300. I think if he's able to survive,
and go the
he's going to have more stamina, you would think, right?
Yes.
So he's going to have more contact later in the round. So plus 300, Jake, to by decision. This is just winning method. And then Tyson by KO is plus 250. And then keep an eye out for will the fight go the distance? I mean, the over-under is 5.5, but will the fight go the distance is minus 232. If you think it's going to go the distance, you can get 1.5, 162.
Yeah.
I don't think it will.
There's great odds on this fight. And then Delco, quick prediction for John Jones and Stipe.
I mean, come on. Stipe's old man.
So is John Jones.
Yeah, but Stipe can barely walk.
John Jones has been partying his ass off.
John Jones is a very good technical fighter, though. Stipe was a powerful fighter with a good chin.
Yeah.
Stipe was a good fighter. He's probably the greatest heavyweight of all time just by default because there weren't that many great heavyweights. Yeah. But, dude, he hasn't fought in 4 years.
Stipe?
Yeah.
Okay.
His last fight was DC.
Oh, shit. Yeah. God damn, that was a long time ago. Yeah. John Jones walks off. Look, for a guy with that career walking off in Madison Square Garden and not wanting to fight Aspinall, I get it. I mean, I get it.
He did say he would fight your Pereira. Legacy.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Because he would just take down Pereira.
Yeah.
And just do what he did to Cyril Gane. Yeah.
Yeah. Did he save his money, John Jones?
I can't imagine he's great with his finances.
I don't know. I don't know anything about him in real life other than his 9 arrests. But
cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Sure is. And it's not cheap. Not cheap. Appreciate you tuning in, kids. Bet with us or against us on mybookie.com. Make sure to use that promo code DRINKINBROS to double that first deposits all the way up to $1,000. Rate this show a 5-star and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify and do the same thing. And then we'll be live here in about 10 minutes on Patreon for Drinkin' Bros Podcast. For D'Anthony D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Week 12 College Football Prediction Show. Good night, everyone.
Shop early, save big, all month long during Black Friday Buildup at Lowe's. Right now, get select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at just $59.98.
Don't wait to save. Shop these deals today, in-store or online. Because Lowe's knows deals. Discount taken at time of purchase while supplies last. Selection varies by location.